Hey guys, welcome to this next episode of the Strong Parents Pod. And today my guest is Ryan Ridgway of Voice for Mental Health. Ryan, welcome on, mate.
Thanks for having me on, Paul. I've been meaning to do this for a while. Love your stuff, love your page. So yeah, thanks for having me on.
Cheers, dude. Really appreciate it. And you know, the sentiment is exactly the same for myself. So I don't tend to give my guests much of a heads up of, you know, what we're going to talk about as such. You know, I just like to sort of just spitball it as we go along kind of thing. But if it's all right with you, mate, I'd like you to maybe give us a bit of background about yourself, of even from the early days, mate, as a kid, you know, from the whatever neck of the woods you're from, and give us a bit of background about your childhood and all that stuff, mate, and then we'll go from there, pal.
Yeah, no worries. I'm from a little place called Nuneaton near Coventry, but don't hold that against me. I promise I'm okay. Background, I started suffering with my mental health at an early age, about the age of 12. Okay. So my diagnosis is obsessive compulsive disorder. And back when I was younger, I'd have intrusive thoughts. Things like turn the light switch on and off 20 times, otherwise your parents would die. There was some horrific outcome if I didn't carry out that compulsion. But back in my day, I get to say that at the age of 40, back in my day, no one had heard of mental health or anxiety, let alone OCD. There's a lot of stigma and judgment. You know, back then, if you spoke about anything to do with your mind, it was often asylum, straitjackets, electroshock therapy, and all of this stuff that came with it. So it's been a difficult, interesting journey, my childhood, because, you know, suffering from the age of 12, you don't know if it's normal or usual. And I tried to get the support, but it just wasn't available. So it was challenging.
Mm-hmm. That's so the thing is with that, I mean, what was popping in my head then, it's like you say, it's like a lot of people would have been like seeing things along the lines of, like you say, straitjacket, that kind of thing. But even like that you're weak, you know, that's definitely, you know, and again, you know, I've no doubt that females have this as well. But obviously, again, speaking from a male's perspective, is that, you know, it would have been hard to speak up as well. And you know, I can't say that I've suffered as such with anything like that, but definitely had thoughts and stuff, you know, from being a kid. And it's just one of those things, you kind of just kept quiet, didn't you?
That's it. I mean, we see from the data that men suffer more with their mental health. I mean, 75% of suicides are male. Mm-hmm. And it's like you said, we don't feel like we can speak out. We've got this self-stigma that if I talk out, it's weak. You know, why can't I cope? I don't want to admit to my friends and my peer group that I'm, you know, struggling. But if you've got thoughts, feelings and emotions, it doesn't matter how you identify in terms of gender. If you've got thoughts, feelings, emotions, then at some point you might need to express that and get it out, because keeping it in results in crisis, it results in more problems. So yeah, we're trying to break down this stigma, like you said, about men, and that's kind of shaped that shaped a bit my upbringing, because I thought that a man was, because I couldn't find any relief or support, right, I'll be a doorman, I'll be an MMA fighter, I'll cut myself in tattoos, I'll put on this fake false self to project that I'm tough, I'm hard, I'm this, I'm that. But inside, it was a very different story.
Right. So where does that, not where does that bring you to now? So from being a kid then, how did this then move on into later life, whether it be in your teens, you know, your early 20s and stuff? So did that then start to manifest in other ways? Did it bring on other issues and other battles and sort of problems, if you like, as you got older?
Yeah, it did. So my learned behaviour from trying to reach out for support, trying to explain what was going on for me, my learned behaviour was, no one is going to help you other than you. So I just withdrew completely, and I thought, right, that's it. I've got this hate for the world now. No one's helped me. In fact, they've made it worse. So I'm going to just absolutely bury my head in training, the gym, boxing, fighting, all of the kind of stereotypical stuff that we used to associate of being, you know, this tough guy. And it just got progressively worse. We often see that anxiety and depression coexist. You know, they're two mental health issues that often go together. And that was my journey. I was living miserably in this space of anxiety. So I became depressed because I didn't find any relief or support from it. So until the last, I mean, I'm 40 now. I only got diagnosed with OCD at the age of 35.
Wow.
That's how the awareness has changed. I did a mental health first aid course that I now teach. Mm-hmm. And I connected the dots. I went, shit, I think that's what I've been going through. Went to find the right GP with a modern approach, with knowledge in mental health. And he went, yeah, you got OCD. And from that point, the last 5 years have been where I've pieced it together. And even that's been a difficult road, difficult journey. But we share our lift experience with other people, it might be part of their survival guide. They might then go, I'm not alone. I'm not weak. You've gone through that. How'd you get through it? That peer-to-peer support's massive, because we realise that we're all going to go through stuff in life that might affect how we feel.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. So I know you just mentioned that you're mental health first aider now. So is that kind of like the work you're doing these days, is it? Is it, you know, are you working with people on a individual basis? You're doing online stuff? What kind of work is it you're doing with that, pal?
Both. So I've worked in mental health for 4 years. So I'll go into organisations, and sometimes online because of the pandemic, and I'll teach people over 2 days to be a mental health first aider. So I train that out. So I kind of teach you, Dan, to look at the different mental illnesses, maybe spot the physical signs, the behavioural signs of someone not doing so great, how to have a non-judgmental conversation, and then signpost them. You know, often people have thought, oh, I've only got my GP, I don't know if they can help, but there's loads of stuff we can try to improve our mental health. Wellbeing approaches, the gym, which I know you're a huge advocate of, you know, physical health, exercise, meditation, mindfulness. Yeah, you've got the doctor, you've got therapies, you've got lots of different CBTs, DBTs. The mental health first aider has a huge toolkit of place this signpost to that maybe the person wasn't aware of before, because everyone deserves the right to be happy and get support. You know, if they're going through something, then let's help each other live in a happy, healthy, well space through that kind conversation, and just suggesting, this is what I did, maybe give it a try, see how it works for you. It's that sharing of best practice.
Absolutely, mate. So with the you're saying about like years back, you know, you sort of absolutely buried yourself in training and things like that. What's that like now for you? I mean, you still train a lot. I mean, I know, you know, I get the impression you do, but you know, is it still on the same sort of level, but you managed to, you know, cut all the coping mechanisms as well that you employ?
Exactly that, mate. I found the balance, that kind of self-recognition, that back in the day I used to have to train. I'd force myself into that space, even if I was exhausted, I didn't want to go. I'd be like, I've got to train, I've got to fulfill this front, this mask. Whereas now I do train still, but you know, I'm all right, I'm kind to myself. If I'm tired from work, I'll have a day off. You know, I'll take my rest days. I recognise that I couldn't keep running on empty and throwing myself into it. So yeah, different coping mechanisms, like meditation. I'm a huge advocate of that. I still like MMA and boxing, but I'm not, you know, throwing myself into heavy sparring each and every time and getting beat up just because I want some relief from how I'm feeling. Because that's why I used to do it. I'll go and feel pain, get hit, feel a little better. You know, it's not always a healthy approach to physical health and mental health.
So I think just touching on the meditation thing, it's not something I've tried actively, but I've given it a go. I'm going back years and I kept hearing about like this app, like Headspace, is it, or something like that. So I thought, go on, I'll give it a whirl. And I listen, mate, I'm going to hold my hands up. I didn't give it long enough. I think I tried like 2-3 times, sitting there for 3-5 minutes even, and my head was just going bing, 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 all these thoughts. I'm like, this ain't me. Maybe I need to give it a bit longer, mate. Well, I've no doubt about it. If I want to try it, I definitely need to give it a bit longer. So is it a daily thing you do, mate? Is it that?
It is, mate. You know what? I had exactly the same experience as you, Dan. I thought I should be like sat all cross-legged, all zen. You know,
thinking. That's exactly what I did.
Yeah, and I was thinking about everything. You know, my head was like, you thought about this email, that thing, that. And I was like, this is not working for me. I'm thinking about everything, not nothing. But like anything, it takes some commitment and practice. And
of course, if you do it long enough,
you start to just, I'm not thinking of anything now, and you start to really embrace that quiet time, that logging off from life for a little bit. I mean, you said you've got 4 kids.
Yeah.
I bet your house is busy, right? You're either the partner, the professional, or the parent. When's Dan's time for Dan? So logging off from life for a little bit and having them 10 minutes, 20 minutes where you just process the day, you know, switch from one mode to the next. I do it morning and night now, and sometimes I do it after I've been training, because if I've been boxing, that adrenaline's going, I'm hyped up, my anxiety symptoms are going, I'm like, I need to bring myself down the other side.
I can believe it, mate.
It's valuable for me, that.
And that's a thing for me. I mean, I'm quite fortunate that, I suppose, with like the shifts I do at work and stuff like that, I could get my training done in the day. But if I had to train in the evening, and I know that would be something I definitely have to look to do, because I'm, like you say, it's, you know, some people may do the training in the evening and that wiped out, they'll get home, get in the shower, and they can go to bed. But for me, like you say, it's that I'd have that heightened state for so long and it'd take me a good while to wind down, you know what I mean? So there's no way I'd be able to train in the evening and just go to bed at the normal time I do. No way.
I'd be lying there like that, doing it before. I'm lying there. I'm exhausted physically, but yeah. I'm buzzing still. I can't sleep. I'm nowhere near sleep.
And even people who, people who do pre-workouts and stuff like that, and even take them in the evening that are full of caffeine, and like, no wonder you can't sleep.
Call me old-fashioned, but my pre-workout is just a coffee. You know, No milk, no sugar coffee. That's the old-school pre-workout. And again, same, I'm showing my age, but now they're loaded with all manner of things. I won't sleep for days.
No, I mean, there's some that have, they have the beta-alanine in them and stuff like that, and they just make me feel like I need to peel my skin off to get these tingles, and like, it's not for me. Like I say, a nice coffee, that'll do for me. Yeah, so just talking about, like you just mentioned about me being a dad. Now, you know, we've had a little chat before coming on. Now, I know you're not a dad as in from a biological standpoint, but you are, you do co-parent, don't you, mate? So you could maybe talk to us about that, pal.
Absolutely. That's one of the things I confess when you invite me. I say, look, I'm not a biological dad, but I've got a bit of experience, a little bit. So I've not ever had kids in my world. I haven't got my own kids. I had testicular cancer 6 years ago, so it's questionable if I can have my own.
Okay,
I've just had relationships where they didn't have kids. It just worked out that way. But now I'm in an amazingly blessed relationship with my partner Jamie, and she's got a 4-year-old and a 9-year-old. So all of a sudden, no experience whatsoever, two young humans in my world. I have no idea what I'm doing, mate. I'm winging it. Where's the manual? Have you got a manual for these little
people? Mate, and it changes every time as well, so no, there's no...
It's amazing. I'm loving it. I think I'm probably coping really well because everything's a novelty to me. You know, like when they're playing up or they're doing stuff, I'm like, oh, bless them. That's, you know, for mom's seen that. She had like 4 or 9 years of it. Whereas I'm like, oh, you know, this is brilliant. I'm almost like the fun co-parent. I get to fulfill that role. But at the same time, I've got no powers of discipline, you know, because I'm not going to start telling them off or stuff because I'm not their dad. I don't want to, you know, fall into that space where they say you're not my dad or whatever, and I've got to be respectful of this. This is new for them and it's new for me, so it has its upsides. I get the fun, but the downsides is when they're doing something naughty, I'm like, oh, can you please stop doing that? And it doesn't quite cut it always.
Oh mate, I can imagine it's a difficult position to be in. But I mean, I mean I can't stand from that speak from that standpoint, but like my wife, you know, she came into our family, if you like. I already had 3 children. So, you know, very well, exactly the same as yourself, you know. So that was, you know, it's things, you know, we've spoken about it in the past. You know, it was very difficult for her, but she just jumped straight in, you know. Love when she didn't have to love, that's the term I always use, you know what I mean? And she did. And now we have our own daughter. So yeah, we have this big blended family. But it works, man. We make it work, you know what I mean? It's not, it has its trials, its tribulations and all that shit, but it works.
I'm glad it works, man. It works for us as well. It's I feel so grateful to have these kids in my world. You know, it's something I've been missing out on all my life, and I didn't really know. You know, you kind of look at it, you think, oh, my mates are well stressed, they're getting no sleep, you know, maybe kids ain't for me. But then there's nothing that can put a bigger smile on your face than if you've had a bad day, the 4-year-old coming up and they've drawn you a picture, or they hold your hand or whatever. You're just like, oh man, this is amazing. So I feel really grateful, really looking
good. Yeah, got to appreciate the small things as well, mate. Yeah, so with your work you're doing then, mate, so what's like the big, you know, is there like a big goal, or are you just sort of like, I'm happy with what I'm doing, I'm doing a good job of what I'm doing, or is there like some sort of bigger goal with what you're doing to taking it to another level and reaching more people or anything like that?
That's really the aim. I just want the biggest possible following, the biggest possible audience, because the more people I can reach and talk about this stuff, the less people might struggle. That's it. This is a passion, nothing to do with profit. I've had my life journey. It didn't need to be that difficult. Hopefully the future generations won't have it as difficult, because we're more open to talking about mental health now, and there's less stigma, less judgment. But there's still a way to go. So, you know, the plan is just to keep going, keep shouting about this from the rooftops, let people know you're not alone, you ain't weak, you know, there should be no stigma, no judgment, should be more awareness, and let's just talk about this as usual and normal as we talk about physical health. You know, let's get it so it's absolutely equal. They overlap, they intertwine, let's have the same conversation.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. So pretty much, coming towards the end now, mate. Because I try not to keep people too long and keep people listening for short periods and what have you. So I did mention to you, I do ask my guests for like a bit of a funny stroke embarrassing story, because the idea is, we might have serious lives, serious jobs, and all that, but we've all made a prat of ourselves at some point in time, and hopefully you've got a story that might be worth sharing, mate. No holds barred, by the way, No judgment, no holds barred. So if you've got anything, hit us with it, pal.
I've got one for you. I've got one for you. So, one of my best friends. I'm gonna call him out if that's all right. Just to shame him. Scott Mosedale. He's one of my best friends today. But he used to be my manager at work. He was my manager for 7 years, and he used to have to fill out paperwork as my manager. Like a performance review or something. And one day he said, "Oh, tell you what, just sign it. I'll fill it out for you, and we'll go and have a coffee. We'll talk about the football or whatever." So I signed it. Anyway, we went on holiday to Ibiza about 4 weeks later, and all the lads are giggling. They're having a little laugh, and I'm like, "What's going on here?" And Scott pulls out this certificate from Depol, and he'd legally changed my name to Daisy Sparkles. The document I'd signed wasn't a work document; it was me
Oh
legally
my
changing my name, and
God.
he doctored that. And I had to keep it for 4 years. So I had Daisy
Seriously.
Sparkles on my passport, on my driving license, on my work badge. Yeah, I had to keep it.
That is crazy. I can't
I
believe you
know.
fell for it. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I can't believe you fell for it. I mean, I suppose you would if you're just like, yeah, let's go and have a brew instead.
Exactly that. Yeah, I tried to change it as soon as I got back, and they got a bit funny. They were like, "What are you saying? It's fraud." I said, "Oh, no, I don't want to get in trouble."
Oh,
So I
man.
kept it. I was dying to be pulled over by the police and them say, "Oh, wind your window down. What's your name?" And me say, "Daisy Sparkles." They'd have just carted me off there and then, wouldn't they? They wouldn't have even
Yeah. So, like you said, this
waited for the
guy
story.
covered in tattoos and everything, like, yeah, Daisy Sparkles, you're taking the piss, you son.
Yeah, exactly. Off we go. Come on, let's get the cuffs on.
Ah, that's a good one, that, mate. I like that. I wasn't
I'm gonna get
expecting
him
something
back at
like
some
that.
point.
Say again.
I'm gonna get him back at some point.
Oh,
He's gonna get married at a
yeah.
stag do. I'm going, both barrels he's getting.
Definitely, mate. No, and you'll have to let us know. Come back on and let us know what you did. Right, mate. So I appreciate your time massively, pal. But I want to make sure the guys and girls that are listening can check your page out, get in touch with you if they need to, because in a way, I'm hoping that some of the people that are listening who do need some sort of help, guidance, or whatever, someone to talk to, can either just follow you, drop you a message, whatever it is, mate. So wherever you're available, let us know everywhere that it is they can get hold of you.
And the best one is Instagram. So it's voice underscore four, the number four underscore mental health. And it's all a sharing of ideas. I'm going to share your podcast. I've shared your post before. It's a good, strong community of people who are just sharing ideas of how we can live happy, healthy, well, mental health, physical health, all of that great stuff. So yeah, if they add me on there, then it's got a few other contact details. If anyone does want to reach out and say, "Look, I'm struggling, my partner is, my kid, whatever it might be," and I'll just signpost them, because my resource then becomes your resource. It's as simple as that.
Brilliant, mate. Massively appreciate that. But I'll make sure I add that into the show notes anyway, so hopefully people can just click on it and give you a follow and reach out if they need to. Right, mate. Thank you very much for
Been a
your time.
pleasure.
I appreciate
No,
it.
thank you. We'll have to do it again. Thanks,
Definitely,
Dan.
mate.
Take care.
I'll speak to you again soon, pal.
See you later, Pat.